Open your Bibles, Luke chapter 18, Luke chapter 18. For those that don't know, the way we do things around here is we just verse by verse, book by book. So Sunday morning we're going through the book of Luke's. This afternoon we'll continue in the book of 1 Corinthians. We'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And then Wednesday nights we do Old Testament. We got a little segue into Proverbs. I'm then working on messages that will really do justice and give us great delight in Exodus 26 to the end, and just dealing with the tabernacle and all of the instruments of the tabernacle and the glory of it, how it'll point to Christ. So I'm working on messages for that. But in the meantime, on the Wednesday nights, we're going through the book of Proverbs. This Wednesday we'll be in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs, if you want one book, whether you're saved or lost here this morning, that'll help you understand and just the ways of life. God's the designer, God's the creator, and we can trust him. And so Proverbs, we should become experts at Proverbs. And I tell you this as well, to know wisdom is to know Christ. You never ever remember this. Everything about life is about Jesus Christ. If we somehow think it's not, we've missed it. If somehow you think, well, I've got to go to work, and Jesus, you know, he's on Sunday, you've missed it. We go to work to provide, but we go to work because somebody needs to see the love of Christ. Somebody needs to hear the love of Christ. Somebody needs to hear the message of the gospel. Luke chapter 18, not a long passage, a very familiar passage, but I've just entitled it, Jesus at Work. Jesus at Work. Luke chapter 18, verse 35. And it came to pass that as he, Jesus, was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. Hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. What in the world's going on? He's saying, right? That's just how I would say it. And verse 37, and they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passes by. Jesus' fame had grown, and so not surprising, most people would have heard about him and would have then realized who they were talking about. Verse 38, and he cried, this blind man cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. You know, because there is a place to hold our peace. Just had that conversation, right? So, you know, we don't want Jesus, you know, but it's, but, you know, anyway. All right, verse 39. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace or be quiet. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, followed Jesus, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Again, title of the message is Jesus at Work. The reason I titled it that message, this is also in two of the other Gospels. I believe there were two men in this story. God uses Luke to give us just the emphasis on one man, but there were two blind men. And then in Mark, it actually gives us the name of one of the blind men, Bartimaeus. This is probably Bartimaeus. And some people say, well, why does God differ from that? Well, Bartimaeus may have been known to some people when it was initially written, but God also, names are important. Names are important to him. But so Jesus at Work. You hear me say this all the time. Here's our objective. Our objective in life, I'm talking to believers. Remember this? Most of the Bible is written to those that are born again. Most of the Bible is written to those that are saved, that have had their sins removed and have been given the righteousness of Christ. So I know most people wouldn't be sitting, particularly in a Baptist church, but some of you know that you're lost, or at least some of you know that you don't know for sure you're going to heaven. It's as simple as this. It is just turning from your sins, that's repentance, and truly believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and surrendering in faith, committing in faith, believing in faith. Those are all interchangeable terms. It is just complete trust in Christ that He would do what He said, that He would save you, and that He will change you. It's not you changing yourself, but it is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is all about Him. And then, if you're saved, if you've been rescued from your sins, if Jesus is truly the one that you want to live for, I know we get a lot of distractions. And I know when we have church services, sometimes you're reminded, and those little voices in your head go, "You're a loser." No, maybe we could have done better. But I want to tell you this, if you're born again and you're saved, God never looks at you as a loser. We got to be careful that we don't talk about ourselves the way God does it. Yes, could I have disciplined myself better this past week and overcome this flesh more than I did? You better believe it. But I love this, that He cares for me. My objective, my goal, and you hear me say this, it's all about Christ. It's to know Him and to live for Him and to honor Him. And so I've said this recently. You're going to be tired of it by the time I'm finished saying it. But I would tell you, if you don't know the Bible, I would spend the next 2 years in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John just so you will get to know Jesus. First, you need to get familiar with the story. So we have blind Bartimaeus here, you know, and just the story. And then I want you to examine Christ. I want you to look at Jesus Christ, because the goal of a Christian is that we would be like Him. And so we better study Him so that we know Him, know how He operates, know what He does, so that we can honor our great King. That's what life is about Jesus Christ. And so it's not about knowing the story, but it's knowing the one of the story. And it's knowing Christ. And so that's why I call it Jesus at Work. Now, Jericho is kind of fun, right? Jericho's this city, and you know, it was the first city that they conquered after they crossed the Jordan River and Joshua and the great battle of Jericho. If some of you have watched VeggieTales, you're completely confused. And so, you know, it was a great battle. God gave the victory. He started them off so well that none of them could take credit for the destruction of Jericho. It was the undestructible city, but God. And then God actually saved people from Jericho, Rahab being the most notable. And Rahab then became of the line of Christ. Is that amazing? Does that just speak of the grace of God? You know this, you know, Rahab, she was a woman of the night. I'll try to use, you know, delicate language. And God said, when I saved you, I removed your sin, and now I'm going to put you in the line of Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? Don't you put yourself on some lower level. There are no levels here. Jesus, everybody else. That's it. Just enjoy that. God particularly using people that people think He shouldn't use. If you're one of those, be encouraged. He just might use you. And you're like, well, you know, and then you try to, this isn't reverse psychology. But Jericho is super fascinating, about 17 miles away from Jerusalem. And it is how many, because I have all this down here, I just remembered offhand, it's like, it's 3,500 feet below Jerusalem. So remember the Good Samaritan, and it said they went down from Jerusalem. Now the Bible always says they always go down from Jerusalem. Literally they went down 3,500 feet to Jericho. It was a fertile ground, it was just west of the Jordan. It was a rich city, a wealthy city. It's not a surprise there were blind people. They had this particular plant, balsam, I think it's called, that was believed, and it still has some benefit for night issues and stuff, but it would help the blind. And so blind people collected there. Particularly then, beggars collected there, because when the city had money, it would accumulate beggars. And so that's the situation that we have here. And so, you know, it's so interesting, right? And I'm not telling you that how we have to respond, but it is, we really examine your heart the next time you pull up to, you know, an exit ramp and there's a beggar there. I'm just going to tell the ladies, don't roll your window down. It's just not safe. So that's what I'll tell the ladies. But for we men, What's going through your mind? I've heard people say, I won't help them because they get what they deserve. I don't think I got what I deserved. But I love this. We're going to learn from Jesus. He helped this beggar. Jesus cares for beggars. Let's learn from the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. I could have titled this message, Love in Action, but it's Jesus at Work, Love in Action. The first thing I want you to notice is willing to change his plans. Now, I know Jesus is God. He's the ever-existing, all-knowing, all-powerful God. He is. And I would love to have a discussion with that. If you don't think the Bible says that and that Jesus claimed that, it's super important. Jesus is the ever-existing, eternal God. And I praise the Lord for that. So he knows all things. And so, yes, but I don't think that's why he went down to Jericho. We're going to see, we're going to continue next week in Luke chapter 19. Zacchaeus, another famous story. But when Jesus went through, he obviously knew because he's the all-knowing God. But I don't think his purpose, although you could argue it was his purpose, but I don't think it was his direct purpose to go and help these two blind men, the one that's particularly talked here in Luke. He was willing to change his plans. I'll tell you this, if we want to be like Jesus, it's good to have a plan. It's good to have goals. It's good to have a target. But I will tell you, if I learn one thing about the Lord, the older I get, and if I learn one thing about Jesus, I need to have a plan and be flexible because I don't know exactly what God wants. Oh, Christian, you're going to see what we should alter our plans for, and it would be people. You see, one of the greatest blessings of life are people. One of the most aggravating parts of life are people. I tell people all the time, if it wasn't for people, pastoring would be a piece of cake. But I wouldn't pastor. It'd be like a shepherd without sheep. And so it's this. We've got to be willing to change our plans. Have a plan. You see a need? You don't always have to change your plans. I'm not saying that. If you never change your plans, I'm thinking that's probably an issue. It is, we must have the mind of Christ. He's going down to Jericho. He's walking to Jericho. And this loud guy that probably was obnoxious, the people said, shh. And it might have been demanding. It might not have been respectful. And they, be quiet. And Jesus was willing to change his plan. Second, he was sensitive to the cries of people. And not only was he willing to change his plans, and he did. I love that. But he was sensitive to the cries of people. We've got to listen. We've got to stop. We've got to listen. We've got to hear people. And you know this, it doesn't help for us to figure out why. What will help is to figure out how we can encourage them in the Lord. It is the overall theme in the 21st century, at least in 2026, is exactly what you talked about this morning. Discouragement, anxiety, worry, and unhappiness. Is that not the theme today? It's the theme today, without a doubt. It is. So, if you are sitting here and you're discouraged and you're anxious and you're unhappy or you're worried, well, then you know what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. We saw that this morning in Sunday school. It is this. But, okay, if you're not, there's a lot of people to help. You say, I don't know what to say. Just get in the Word of God. Get in the Bible. Get in the Bible and let's get our eyes on Christ and trust that He cares. He cares. But Jesus was sensitive to the cries of people. Are we? Are we? We got Vacation Bible School coming August 3rd to the 7th. We got flyers out there. I want you to be personally burdened. I want you to be personally challenged. I want every single person in here, I want you to bring some children. And I love this. I love this. I love our church because I'm going to a neighborhood that is going to make our Vacation Bible School more difficult. I'm not going to the neighborhood to make our Vacation Bible School more difficult. I'm going because I'm burdened about it and I can't get away from it. I don't. These children, by God's grace that we can reach, they need Jesus Christ. And they don't even know what their problems are. They don't even know how to cry out. we are in a time period in a generation where parents, it's not even a thought about them to teach their kids about God. In fact, we are in such a weird world today that the thought of parents is, I'm going to let my children decide what they think about God. That's the dumbest thing you could ever think in your life. Literally, this is a shock. Somebody just asked me yesterday, they said, well, you're just brainwashing them. And I said, you better believe it. And they're like, what? I said, because the devil's trying to brainwash them, and I'm trying to brainwash them with the truth. What would you recommend that I brainwash them with? And so we need to be sensitive to the cries of people. I had a young man yesterday, delighted. Oh, if you're a parent, he's got a 3-year-old, began to weep. And he said, I had to wait till I was 31 before I began to understand some of these things. I don't want my son to wait till he's 31. And I told him, I said, well, you just spoke Bible because God's given you the job, the joy, the privilege for you to raise your son in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Oh, parents, did you know that? It's not the preacher's job. I may be part of the equation, but I'm teeny-weeny compared to you. Teach your children. Teach them. When you see your children, whether it's 3 years old, 5 years old, 15 years old, 20 years old, and you see them rebelling, they're crying out, I don't know what life's about. You pray for them, you love them, you hear their cries, and let's learn from Christ how to help them, how to minister to them. The best thing we could do is to teach people the Bible. He was sensitive to the cries of people. Third, he wanted to interact with people. You got to understand, Jesus was in a hurry. He could have just said, just tell him. Or Bartimaeus would have known. Jesus didn't have to call him over. But do you see this? Look, if you will, verse 40. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, then he interacted with him and he talked to him. I want you to know this. It's so critical. So many people that attend church, let's just narrow it down to Baptist. So many people that go to Baptist churches, they don't interact with anybody on a spiritual, eternal level ever. The best it gets, they said, God bless you. And they're feeling like, you're welcome. It is, Jesus said, bring him over here. I want to interact with him. We're going to learn from Christ, right? Christ was willing to change his plans. We're going to learn from Christ. Christ was sensitive to the cries of people. We're going to learn from Jesus. Then Jesus said, bring him here. Because you know this, Jesus healed people without ever showing up. Aren't you glad? Because he can heal us too, amen? If he had to show up, we're in trouble. But he is here, but just not in bodily form. But he wanted to interact with people. I want you to understand this. We have to work on that. Get over our whatever the issues are. Interacting with people, bringing them over, talking to people about eternal things. I want to ask you this. Oh, Christian, or the person that you tell me you're a Christian, when is the last time you ever interacted with people eternally? And I know if it's your first, second, third, tenth time, sweat beads will just pour down your face and you're scared half to death. You won't remember what you said, but I'll tell you this, you've honored the King. Jesus loved people enough that said, come over here, I want to talk to you. I love it. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's my size. Maybe it's my gray hair. I don't know what it is. I can do this now. Hey, come here for a second. Everybody will come to me. Nobody's ever said no. So I'm not recommending you try that, but I kind of like it. This encourages me to do it even more. And because you know this, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Nobody's going to be saved unless they hear the word of God. We are the ones that God has commanded. I'm not saying we're the only source, but God has given us the great privilege of being the voice, the mouth of his gospel, of his great work, of the love of God, and we need to interact with people. So if you're saved, get over it. interact with people. It's good. We want to be like Christ. We'll hear the cries of people. That's why I tell you, it's not me. I have no motive. You know why I go knocking on doors in Fairfield? Because I'm responsible for Fairfield. I'm shepherding this church, and I want us to care for our community, and it's the best way I know to take the gospel to every creature, and we try to map out, we try to go to every house, and it's imperfect, but we do. But I'll tell you this, you know what I love? I loved your spirit, Mike. Your spirit was so good, because Mike, you know, it's tough. Is it tough going out there? It is. It's tough. It's tougher when you go out there with... And so Mike got the short straw. If anybody has to go by themselves, I will. And so then I walked in here, I was getting something like, Mike! You know what I love about your spirit? You said, okay. And I know this. Your flesh is going, what are you doing? What are you? Now I'm going to tell you this. You be honest with me. Don't you lie. Has nothing to do with me. You'll struggle this Wednesday, but were you glad you went this past Wednesday? Now, I'm telling you this. You can tell me no. It'll be okay. And I'll be like, I'll never ask you another question again. But it is, I want to tell you this. You know why? There's someone in you that loves it. Your flesh says, right? You ought to come out, and you'll hear the cries of people. You'll see the need. It's one of the greatest reasons I love door knocking. We are able to reach people, and God's blessed us in that vein. But I'll tell you this, it stirs my heart. If you're not careful, oh Christian, I say this all the time, your life will be isolated, and that's biblical. We ought to be sanctified. We ought to be separate. But I'll tell you this, we ought not to be so separate that we cannot know the lost and teach them and interact with them. You follow me? We got to make it happen. Got to make it happen. Fourth thing, he was patient with people. Now, this is going to be a little fun. I'll try to go through it faster, but he was patient with people. So you may not always agree with everything I'm going to say here, but he was patient with people. I'm going to say this. He cried out for mercy. So I want to tell you this. It's sort of the mentality that when he cried out for mercy, here was the thought of the day. If you're blind, what did you do to make God zap your eyes? Is that fair? That's not the God of the Bible. It's not. Jesus was super patient. I love this. You don't have to be a scholar. I want you to know this. This is the simple lesson. You say, I don't know what to say. Just talk to the Lord and try to be respectful. He's not worried if your theology is all correct. He loves you. You follow me? I'm going to say, Jesus didn't let that get in the way. I think he should have said, Lord, I want my sins removed. But he cried for mercy. And Ethan, what he was in essence doing, I'm not saying all this was going through his mind. He was saying, because you're the one that blinded me. I may have done something. I don't know what it was. I don't think it was God that blinded him. I think it was a consequence. Could have been a demon. I don't know. But you see, he was patient with people. Remember just the simple thought here. Don't worry if you don't know, because none of us know everything. Don't worry. Everybody says, well, I don't know what to say to the Lord. Just talk to him. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, the Bible says. He wants to hear from us. And you know this, how patient he is? Our imperfect speech, our imperfect theology, which we ought to study, we ought to learn. I'm not excusing that. But he'll hear us. Second thing I want you to see, he was potentially limiting Christ's full identity. So he said, Jesus, thou son of David. Now I'm going to take you to a passage. It's a cool passage. Mark chapter 12, Jesus asked this question. Jesus answered and said while he taught in the temple, how say the scribes, those are one of the religious leaders, how say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore himself calleth him Lord, and whence is he then his son? And the common people heard him gladly. Understand, Jesus isn't saying he's not from the line of David. But here's what we do, and I wonder if Bartimaeus did this just a little bit too much. I wonder if Bartimaeus was just thinking of Jesus as a man, the son of David. Now, the son of David was a messianic term. I'm not denying that. It was a good term. I'm not saying. All I'm telling you is this. He probably didn't fully grasp the magnitude that God is walking in Jericho. And Jesus was patient with him there too. I want you to understand this. Never forget this. The privilege we have, the honor we have, the joy we have of going to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the God of the universe who does no wrong, can't think to do wrong, couldn't even possibly do wrong, and everything about him is good. He will hear us even if we don't fully glorify him. Isn't that good? Don't you love it and say, "Bah!" It's not mercy, Bartimaeus. I would have helped you, but dummy. He didn't say that, did he? He didn't say, "Bartimaeus, what do you mean by the son of David?" He didn't. He loved him. You see, I think we ought to study. I think we ought to learn. I think we ought to delight. And see, it's about knowing Christ. Jesus is the ever-existing, eternal God. It's good. I want to show you this. Fifth, he used the temporal to ignite the eternal. Super interesting. Doesn't say a lot about this, but what I do love about both men in this story, even though this speaks of one of the men, another speaks of one of the men, but both men in this story, in this true account, as you'll look at the other Gospels, they did follow Christ. And so Jesus healed him physically. And these two men, Bartimaeus in this particular example, he understood and he, I can't know for sure, but I think he was probably saved spiritually as well. But look at just verse 42. And Jesus said to him, "Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee." Interesting terminology Jesus uses there. Then the results. You see, I can usually tell, and you ought to be comforted, if you're a follower of Christ, the fruit will follow. And immediately he received his sight, and I'm going to say, and immediately followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. He was so happy. He glorified God. It was a very tender circumstance. You understand this? Here he gets his sight, and he's probably surrounded by dozens and dozens and dozens of other blind people. See, Jesus didn't heal all the blind people, but I'll tell you this, he loved all the blind people. You follow me? He came that the blind might see, and that's a spiritual thing. You see, but he glorified God. See, God, Jesus, used the temporal. He used something that doesn't matter. So right now, if I close this eye, I can't see very much, right? So, I mean, it is like, and so I'm okay. So they're going to do a procedure on me coming up, you know, so I can't see that well. But you know this, I'm going to have, if 20/20 is as good as it comes, it's better. Whatever the best eyesight, I get a new eye. I get a new eye one day. You know, and so it's the temporal. So I tell you this, we want to be like Christ. This isn't bribing people. That is not what I'm suggesting at all. But it's helping people. It's getting in their life. It's how can we help? How can we come alongside them? How can we encourage them? How can we love them so that we can help them in a temporal fashion that we might help them in an eternal fashion? The young man that I met yesterday from the funeral, he met with me yesterday. One of the things that made an impact on him, my wife told me this, I didn't see this. He came to the funeral, and I always say, I'd love to meet with you. And he came up to me and said, I'd like to talk. So we met yesterday. I think he'll be here this afternoon. He kept telling Deb and them, he said, "Did you guys cater this lunch? Did you cater this lunch? Who made this food?" He was stunned. His background is just, he'd never seen people just love. There's always a string attached. He was stunned by that. I will tell you this, that's when he came up to me and said, "I'd like to talk to you." The temporal, those that helped, and I know this, it's difficult during a weekday. God provides. We always have enough. I love our church. It's good. Don't you dare feel bad if you couldn't help. Okay, you can't help this time. That's fine, but I love it. We had exactly what we needed. It was good. And God used the temporal to move on a young man's eternal heart. He said, "What in the world's going on here? I've never seen this." And then I was able to talk to him about eternal things. You see, if we're going to be like Christ, we live in a temporary world. That's what temporal means. This world, it ain't going to be flooded the next time. It's going to be by fire, and it's going to be dissolved. The elements will shwink, dissolve, gone. Then there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. How do we use the temporal in order to open the doors for the eternal? I'm not talking about bribing or anything. You follow me? What I'm talking about is this. I'm in a temporal world. God's given me temporal things. How can I use those temporal things, whether it's money, whether it's my house, whether it's my car, whatever it is, that I might open the doors for eternal conversations and just watch God do a great work? I want to tell you, my objective isn't to get more rear ends into this building. This guy lives in Washington State. He's going to go back. He's in the armed forces. He's going to go back in a couple weeks, part of the Air Force. And so we're going to have a Zoom call. He wasn't saved as of yesterday. Wouldn't surprise me if he, on his way home, he had a lot of questions, but we're going to keep meeting. You see, I want you to know this. Your reason to interact with people, your reason to hear the cries of people is not to build this church. God does that. You follow me? I'm okay with whatever the people have and what God has. And you know this, our job is to hear the cries, interact with people, and that we might use the temporal for the eternal. You follow me? Final thought. He rewarded faith. I say he rewarded faith in Christ because I said rewarded faith in him. I wasn't sure. But Jesus rewarded faith in himself. Just look at this. He says in verse 42, "Receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee." I've got this. This is a great verse. I love Romans 4. Wasn't an exact fit here, so I thought Hebrews 11 was a better fit. So Romans 4, 21, one of the best passages to help you understand what faith is. This is another passage that tells you what faith that I think fits this context. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." Understand this. If you are outside of Christ, if you are not in Christ, that means if you're not saved, if you haven't been rescued, if you haven't truly surrendered your life. This young man yesterday told me, he goes, I said, "Are you born again?" He said, "I used to be." I said, "You either are or you are not. It's not that you used to be and now you're not." I said, "I know that's a lot." I said, "But did your life change?" He said, "No." I said, "You were never." Because you know what he did? He said, "I don't remember much, but I went forward when I was 8 years old, and I did what they told me to do, and so I did that." I said, "Oh, well, I can just tell you this. If nothing changed, you just did that. Because when you're saved, he changes you. But I want you to understand this. Before you're saved, it's impossible to please God. When the Bible said there's none that doeth good, it's because without faith in him, you can never please him. You can never do what's right. That's a tough thing for humans to grasp. But the only way any of us, the only way I can ever do good is because of Jesus Christ. The only thing good about me is Jesus Christ. It is impossible. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That's faith. You must believe that he is. And I love this. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The problem today is there's no diligence with eternal things. We just want to be a Christian and maybe it'll stick to me in a drive-by on Sunday morning. You know? And we wonder, why am I not used of God? Because there's no diligence. You're not saved by diligence. Let's be clear. You're saved by faith. Oh, but Christians, he said he rewards those that diligently seek him. Look at this old blind boy. Not me. Fit. Okay. All right. I'm talking in the passage. I'll have to change my vocabulary soon. Just look at this guy in the passage. They said, "Shut up." He said, you know, up your nose with a rubber hose, right? That's where that started. And he said, "No." He said, "I need Christ. I don't care if I look like a fool. I want to know him. That's my goal. I want to know Christ." And I'll tell you this, the Lord will, he says this, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You're not saved by diligence, you're saved by faith. Aren't we glad that Christ was diligent? He did the work we couldn't do. But oh, Christian, we want to be like Jesus. He'll reward your diligent faith. I'm talking about saved people. How much do you want Christ? How much do you want to honor Him? I'll review and then I'm done. Remember this, Jesus at work. If you're a Christian this morning, what life is about, I want to know Him, that I might be like Him, and that I might, you know, we've gone over this recently, the fellowship of His suffering, the power of His resurrection, and being made conformable to His death. That's Philippians chapter 3. That's to know Him in that intimate way, in that beautiful way, because I will tell you this, bowling's fine. And I'm not picking on Gordon, right? If I know what's happening, he's like, ah! Wish I'd bowled less. I'm not criticizing him. Is that too sensitive? When I get in heaven, it'll be like, ah! A bunch of, ah! It is, oh, Christian, Jesus is amazing. He's not looking down on you. He's not criticizing you because you don't know everything. He's not going to criticize you when you talk to Him. Be respectful. Learn how to talk to Him, that He'll hear you. How diligent are we? Sunday, how's the past week been? Have you diligently sought Christ this past week? Don't be discouraged if the answer is no. Be encouraged that it was raised to your conscious level that you might honor Christ. Isn't that good? That's why I love it. It's like this. Don't get depressed and go, no, I'm just a loser. No, you're somebody that wasn't diligent. Let's get with it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I can't change yesterday. By God's grace, let's add diligence so that we can honor our King. But if you're sitting here this morning and you're not saved, oh, nothing else matters. Have you surrendered to Christ? I beg you. We have an invitation. We invite you. You don't have to walk up. But maybe you do. You don't get saved because you walk up. But are you willing to say, not one more day. I don't want to live another day without Christ. And then your mission changes. It's His honor. In His glory. Because as the song that we sang, He is worthy. Let's pray.